Lord, I'm running. Gonna make 199 and a half won't do. Lord, I'm running. Gonna be a winner with the Lord by my side again. Lord, I'm running. Gonna make 199 and a half won't do. Lord, I'm running. Gonna be a winner with the Lord by my side. I can't lose. Lord, I'm running. Gonna make 199 and a half won't do. Lord, I'm
to thank God for getting me back safely. I had a nice vacation, but I got permission to give this testimony. It was really awesome. And Karen came over when we had prayer this afternoon. She said that a friend of hers, his mother had cancer, and she had a lot of tumors. So she had gotten 22 more. And since we were praying, the 22 of them are gone. And the ones that she has isn't growing. It's such, just the power of prayer. It was just so awesome to hear that. No, and she asked that, I guess her name is Carol, that we keep praying. But I am just so thankful, and I really love hearing that. It was just an awesome thing.
I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved through His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah. Marvelous grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that has taken its flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out to faith in His name. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out, show me the way. Hallelujah. For a long time I traveled down a lonely road. My heart was so heavy, in sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out through his saving power. From this world of sin, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way.
If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to open up to the Word of the Lord. I'm going to read two passages while you're standing, and then we'll go through some of the others afterwards. And we're going to go to the Word of the Lord in 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to read a verse we read a few services ago, and then 2 Timothy chapter 1. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're in a place of agreement, according to Scripture, not according to somebody's theological theory, but we have gathered together in his name, and we know he hears us always.
Amen.
Amen. If you're doubting that, then tonight I hope you'll stop after we're through, okay?
Yes.
Well, you don't have life to waste doubting whether God will hear you. Now, if you don't know by now, you're in trouble. And you need to be in an altar of prayer and repentance, making sure you got the salvation right, and get over that. Praise God. We're too old to wonder if God's going to hear us or be with us. Praise God. If you're still struggling with everyday things, whether God's with you, whether God's not, welcome to real church, where you get to learn all of that stuff and put some of the childish stuff away and just live for God. Life's so fragile. Don't spend it wasting your time on anything other than he's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. There are fundamental, basic things that should be just absolute, unquestionable in your walk with God, no matter what's happening in your earthen vessel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm with you always. Settled. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's read. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 7, infamous verses of Scripture. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, one more time. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated. We've read two verses so far, and you'll notice in both verses there are two things mentioned, and they are both contrary the one to the other. There is a conflict of interest with both of them, and I want to talk to you tonight about that. If I can use that phrase properly from a spiritual sense, I want to talk to you about conflict of interest. We've all worked on jobs where there are certain things we could do, we could not do, because it represented a conflict of interest. There, in our walk with God, there are places that we would not go because it represented a conflict of interest. We all understand that phrase. Two things that just don't go together because it creates a conflict. There is one thing that has an agenda, and then there's another thing that has an agenda. We know that the love of God delivers us from fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. We know that there is no fear in love. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So it's just knowledge that says fear and the love of God, fear and power, love and sound mind are two different things. And they too are not compatible. And they too do not agree. And they're in conflict with one another. You would agree, correct? We read to you 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, but we have this treasure, and I'm saying this based upon the previous conversation leading up to that verse, but I want to point out again, just simple. I'm not trying to overthink anything or get into deep thought. It just represents that there's an earthen vessel, and then there's a treasure in earthen vessel, right? And then it tells us why. It tells us why in that verse of Scripture that we have this treasure, that the excellency of that power, that's of a right power, love, and sound mind, that same excellency, maybe of God and not of us. So there's an implication there that suggests that it was God's great pleasure to put within us a treasure that would be greater than us, a treasure he knew that would present a conflict. He knew he was putting something inside of us where there would be contrariness. He knew there would be a conflict of interest. He knew that once in a while there would be a struggle. He knew once in a while that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. But yet he was not afraid to put this treasure in earthen vessel for the end result, that the excellency of the power may be of God. That suggests to me that he knows he's always going to receive the glory, the praise, and the honor, because when it's all settled and done, we know that we can't do this without that excellency, without that power, without that love, without a sound mind. Now, as I began to say already at the onset of this thing, there's also an understanding here that, and this is basic Christianity, but this is basic Christianity that we learn as we walk with God, as we pray, as we do fundamental things that we need to do, but these fundamental things will give way to the strengthening of a new nature where that earthen vessel won't be such a bother as it can be. For those who seem to somehow have one foot on the straight and narrow, and sometimes they allow their other foot to get on the broad way that leads to destruction. I want to tell you something tonight. You cannot live a life of power, love, and sound mind when you've got one foot in and you've got one foot out. You can't walk this life living with one foot in eternal life and one foot in everlasting darkness. It just will not work. Praise the Lord. The conflict has to end. And there needs to be a point in time in our life when we come to a place where we are dead to sin. We are no longer alive in sin. We are alive to God, but we're dead to this. And if I'm alive to God, I just want to say this in simplicity tonight. I am alive unto power, love, and a sound mind. If I don't have a sound mind, I need to wake up to power, love, sound mind. I need to wake up to the excellency of the power and not fear. Fear has torment. Fear will drive you batty. God has not given us the spirit of fear. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? There's that something that does not have to be intermittent in your life. You'll always live with a conflict of interest, but it doesn't mean that you're being subdued by that conflict. You'll always live, as long as you're alive, with this earthen vessel. But it doesn't mean you're living after the works of the flesh. Praise the Lord. We do have the excellency that causes our life to be quickened, hidden in God, and free from sin. So that the body, when the scripture says that the body is dead, it's not talking about physical death. It's saying that you are dead to the ways of sin that you once walked in. And such were some of you. But now you are washed. Now you are sanctified. It's simple gospel teaching that says you're this and not this. Praise God. I know this is simple, but we live in such a ragtag time of weakness. I feel a word from the Lord that says, generally speaking, not saying this fits you, but I feel like there's a statement that's saying there's a lot of people who are weak who shouldn't be. Praise God. There are a lot of people who are quiet on church pews who shouldn't be. There are a lot of people who have fallen prey to the propaganda of the conflict of interest, and it should not be. There are more that seem to be in tune with the earthen vessel. I've said this before, I'll repeat it. And the conflict associated than they should be. I'll say this to you tonight, that in the kingdom of God, not in this world of rebellion and disobedience and all the filth that goes with it, but in the church, in the kingdom, in the heavenly Jerusalem, God makes men men and women women. God doesn't make a bunch of spineless, wimpy, whiny men. He makes men strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He makes men who are men over their households. Men who are men, not queers, men. Not effeminate, men. Godly men, holy men, righteous men, authoritative men, able to function in life men. God makes godly women who are holy and upright and righteous and virtuous, pure, discreet, lovers of God, lovers of their husband, lovers of their children, keepers of the home. I'm preaching gospel. Kingdom gospel, not worldly, rebellious teaching, gospel teaching, where I will not be afraid to preach the truth. Sometimes God just walks in, as I've said before, into our prayer room and says, stop it. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying stop it tonight. I'm just saying there has to be a time when, whether you individually or the church, we just come down and we just come to this platform and we remind ourselves of who we are, what we have. And not to let any of these things slip. God has not changed his mind one bit about anything he's ever done, said, or been, or going to do. Praise the Lord. He has not neglected himself. He has not changed any bit. Holiness is still holiness. Godliness is still godliness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord, would you? Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 All right. Let me read other verses so you understand where I'm trying to go here. And I'm not worried about concerning anybody because I don't think I am. I just love the truth and you love the truth. And we need to be careful that we don't get pulled into a frame of mind that becomes a frame of living. Galatians chapter 5, turn there with me tonight. I'm going to start at verse 16, Galatians 5, 16. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Conflict of interest. Hallelujah. There are certain things we won't wear because it's a conflict of interest. Certain things we will not watch because there's a conflict of interest. Places we will not go because there's a conflict of interest. Things we will never say. It's not in us to say them, but there's a conflict of interest. There are some people who don't understand why you do what you do. And they don't understand there's a conflict of interest. There are two mysteries involved. And both mysteries want to work. There is 1 Timothy 3:16, and then there's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There are two mysteries, and both mysteries are designed to work. They want to work. It's kind of like a movie, right? You have the protagonist and the antagonist, and sometimes they want the same thing. They're out for something. Question is, who will win? The mystery of iniquity wants to work and pull you out of heaven and send you to hell. The mystery of godliness wants to present in your life God manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. It's 1 Timothy 3:16 is not just a passage where we prove that God was manifest in the flesh and that there's only one God and that there's not three persons. There's a deeper reason for that verse of Scripture. Just like 1 John 4 testifies, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And that's really what the mystery of godliness is all about. It's about God manifest in your flesh. Because he was manifest in the flesh. Because Christ came. The question now is, has he come in you? Is your life personifying that Christ has come in the flesh? That Christ once, amen, graced this planet with his presence. Hallelujah, that his sandals once stepped upon, amen, the shores of Galilee, right? Praise the Lord, that his presence was in the world, healing and binding up the broken heart. Praise God, does your life testify he shed blood, that he busted out of a borrowed tomb, amen, on that third day. Hallelujah. Or does your life manifest another mystery that's at work? Does it manifest the spirit of fear? Does it manifest a mind that's not sound? Does it manifest the inability to have power to overcome? There are those in this life who fall under the umbrella of the kingdom of God, and yet life, when it shows up, causes them to swim in a swimming pool of misery and distress and melancholy. And sometimes, no matter what you say, they're not hearing you cry out, get out of the pool. Yeah. Praise God. Get out of the pool of despair. Get out of the pool of not perfect soundness. What does Scripture say? He'll keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is fixed on him. Jesus said, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Did you hear that word that Jesus said to you tonight? He said, my peace I give you. When I give you peace, it will not leave you in fear. It will not leave you swimming in the wrong pool, praise God. It will not leave you constantly dwelling on everything that's not going right. It will leave you filled with power and might and authority and acceleration, amen, in the things that are good and godly. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I feel it in the Holy Ghost tonight to tell the people, it's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to get up. Praise God. It's time for you to bear up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shake yourself from the dust and sit down. Praise God. With Christ in a heavenly place. Hallelujah. 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 Bear with me a moment. Galatians 5:16. This I say then. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's how simple it is. Yet so many struggle, lust of the flesh. I'll tell you, I'm going to, maybe this weekend I'll buy those binkies. Just have it fixed right there in the pulpit. Listen to people struggle. Talk about with their flesh. One verse solves the whole problem. And really what needs to happen is that spiritual 2x4. Just whacks him upside the head. So, well, just live for God. Walk with God. You know what that means in English? It means, have you been born again? Have you received the Holy Ghost? Yes. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Yes. Did you repent? And you can say yes to that. Walk in it. You know what that means? It means make godly choices that will not leave you with a binky stuck in your mouth. Hallelujah. That's how you walk. The walk is demonstrating what you've become and what you are being taught and what you know. what you know, knowledge needs to translate into behavioral changes. You don't keep the same behavior as before. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts thereof. Something's dead, so don't go back to deadness, because it'll cause the binky to go in your mouth. And you need a session with God. Oh. Now, all of us know what I'm talking about, because we've all been there. We've all had our moments. But in consistent prayer, see, this is why you're being renewed day by day and calling upon the Lord and having a fruitful prayer life. It always it gives you the upper hand against the conflict of interest that's always there at the snap of a finger, because you're flesh, because you're earth, because you're mortality. It's not a thing of, oh, I'm always struggling with the sin nature. No, that's not kingdom of God teaching. You shouldn't be struggling with the sin nature. It should be dead. It should be destroyed. He came to destroy the works of the devil, not leave you postured with, oh, I'm saved, but I'm really not. That's so dumb. People don't realize what they're saying because they don't have the knowledge of God in them. So they say dumb things. I know I'm saved. I'm saved. I sin sometimes, but I'm saved. I know the scripture says the wages of sin is death, but I'm saved. That's not what the gospel teaches. If I sin, I'm going to die. For the soul that sinneth shall surely die. You got to piece it all together to give you the picture of, oops, I better pull this binky out and just start living right. Okay, let me finish here. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now that's talking about Mosaic law. It's talking about if you're led of the Holy Ghost, in consistency with everything that Paul taught, you're not under the law of the spirit of death. For the law of the spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's the law he's talking about here. If I'm led of the Holy Ghost, then I'm not under and allowing that law of sin and death. And I'm not allowing that mystery of iniquity to work in my life. Instead, I'm being led of God to allow godliness to work in my life. Godliness which produces love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. But we have to learn how to be led and how to follow after the things of God. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. These are all works of the flesh. Make excuse for none of them. Repent of all of them. Praise God. Yeah, but wrath. I don't know about that one. No, it's all of it. It's listed as a work of the flesh. Are you following after God or your flesh? Yeah, but strife or emulation, I don't know about that. Well, you don't know about a lot of things then. I don't think anyone here is struggling with what I'm saying here tonight. We all understand this. Like Pastor said, you're the amen corner. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The law of Moses was against murder, wrath, sedition, covetousness, all the stuff, the Ten Commandments plus some. But meekness and temperance and the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law against that. Praise God. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Not that that's happening here, but this verse 25 is what I'd like to key on as well. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So again, what I'm feeling tonight with this thought of conflict of interest, is God is simply here to say one more time, if I have transplanted you from darkness into light, would you please walk in the light? Walk in that power, walk in that love, and walk in that sound mind. I have given that. I shed blood to give you that. And that's what we need to do. We need to fight for our own walk. And no matter what we're going through, it's the word of God that says, I am with you always. You're not alone. Amen. Sometimes we just got to tell this earthen vessel to be quiet. And look into that treasure that says, I'm not alone. I am with you always. I've got power. I've got a reserve, Brother Bradley, of power. I've got a reserve of love, a love of God that's shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. If you are not yet full of the Holy Ghost, God can fill you with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. That is the gospel, first century Holy Ghost experience. There's no such thing as I've got it, but I've never spoken with tongues. If you haven't, you need to yield yourself to God so that you can. It's not about the tongues. It's about the experience that brings it out as much as it brings other fruit. Praise the Lord. And it's about dealing with the issue of, well, I don't have to do that to be saved. Give God your tongue. You don't speak with tongues on your own. It's the Holy Ghost that speaks mysteries unto God through you as you yield yourself to God. Praise the Lord. It is the fruit of righteousness. Amen. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. It is our ability to be led of the Spirit of God and to allow the mystery of godliness to work in us. It's about God. It's about Christ being manifest in our flesh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Does this make sense to you tonight? I'm trying to hurry. Just give me a couple minutes here. It's that Antichrist spirit that does not manifest that Christ has come. Now he has come, but John was testifying to us, try the spirits, not the devils. Don't try the devils are devils. There should be no need to try them. A devil is a devil. What's being tried is people's spirits. That's what he was talking about. Try the spirit to see whether they're of God or not. What spirit? The human spirit. The devil's not of God. No brainer. But it's people who can deceive. It's going back. It's John saying what Jesus said. Every tree is known by its fruit. John simply said it like this. Try the spirits whether they're good fruit or bad fruit. Amen? And what God, I feel, in his word tonight is reminding us, be good fruit. I have chosen you or ordained you that you should be good fruit. I've chosen you so that you could be a person of power and love and of a sound mind. Praise God. With great power and excellence in your life. We don't need to be living this walk or trying to go through this walk just barely making it. Humbug on that. That's so frustrating. Look, I'm nobody's counselor. And I'll do my best to be a good listener and pray for you. But I tell you what, Brother Rutledge is right. The only thing he can come to is you need Jesus. Let's pray. Because after all I can do for you is listen to all your babbling. At the end of the story is you need to just get in tune with that mystery of godliness. Amen. Excuse me. I'm going to hurry up. That's my sign to stop. Now, tough love sometimes shakes us up. Every parent here should understand that. There are times when you just gotta snap people back into place. You know what I mean? Sometimes your kids can get the wrong frame of mind, and they can't see it. We've all been kids. And there are times when we're just thinking wrong. I remember my mother, when I threw a fit because I didn't want to go down the street and just pick up something at the grocery store. It wasn't far. but I just didn't want to do it. But she said something to me this day at that moment that just snapped me out of my place, and I never had that moment again. And see, what exactly did she say? I think it was something on the effect of, don't worry, I'll do it. I'll never ask you again. I mean, she said something strong that just kind of slapped me in the face and made me feel like a heel. I was being one, because there's no reason for that. No reason to whine and complain about grabbing a trash bag full of trash and walking 50 feet to the dumpster just because you're lazy and you don't want to get up from your dumb TV program. Now, knowing what I know, if I could go back in time and see myself, I would grab myself by the scuff of my backside and wedging myself off that chair and throw myself towards that trash and say, you better get out there or we're going to have a little tussle. What's wrong with you? You an idiot? Is that such a hard thing to ask? Sometimes the Lord has to just pick us up from where we're at and just make us see ourselves and see what we're forfeiting. We get to live. See, some people are so mindful of heaven, you know. That I guess that's what probably disturbs me the most about all these end time prophecy freaks, is that they keep trying to, some people are so bad, that's all they can teach. And they're not teaching people at the fundamental level what they need to enjoy what they have now. I mean, they say, oh, heavenly Jerusalem's coming someday. Look, it's here. No, it's not only in this life, but we have come to heavenly Jerusalem now. Yeah. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. All right. I'm going to have to stop in just a minute, but I hope I'm getting through. See, spirit and flesh, they're contrary to each other. That's what the scripture teaches. So we're not without knowledge to tell us you're living with contrariness every day, but this is how you beat it. So I don't have to allow the contrariness and the fact that it's there to overtake me. If I've got power, I'm choosing power over weakness. If I've got love, I'm choosing that over fear. If I become afraid of things that are out of my control, that's when I have to stop. I have to draw a line in the sand and say, I don't go past here. I don't go past here. I don't go past here, because if I do, my mindset is gravitating towards a mystery that wants to take me outside the city of refuge and stick a knife under my fifth rib, like Joab did to Abner. Please understand this. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And sometimes the thief is fear. But if we can not allow the earthen vessel to overtake the treasure, then we'll always keep ourselves in the love of God, as Jude admonished us to do so. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy. Keep yourself in this heavenly plateau, because it's this place, it's this in Christ where we look for the Savior. Our platform in this kingdom causes us to be able to look forward to and to expect the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, as long as we stay led of the Spirit and we're being led by the mystery of godliness. All right, let me try to read 2 Corinthians here, chapter 6, before I lose my voice. I hope you understand this tonight. I'm not rebuking. I hope it doesn't sound that way. It's just, there are times for me as a preacher, I'm learning, I'm still learning how to be a good listener. I fail on occasions, but I'm trying. And mixed with that is the need to be careful that I don't break the code of patience.
upon ears that are not able to bear what I might say if I say what I think and feel to say sometimes in order to jolt people in the right direction. You can listen to people all day long with all their troubles, and there are times you just want to pick up a 2x4 and just whack them in the head and say, you big dummy, do you know why you're sitting here in my office? It's because of you. Because you're a big dummy. That's why you're here, dummy. Because you're making dumb choices. You're rejecting knowledge. And you, wisdom is foolish to you. That's why you're here. And you'll die here. And this is where you'll be when you die, because you're dumb. Now, I could say that. And some might never go back to church, get their feelings hurt, get offended. How dare, he's supposed to be a preacher. Yeah, well, Jesus is Jesus, and one day he might send you to hell, too. So do you want a preacher to tell you how dumb you are and you need to wake up and just snap out of this and just live for God after he's handed you a salvation he paid for? A salvation the prophets desired to look into, they wanted to know. All the promises of God, all the people under the first covenant died without having what he poured out upon you, and you're stupid? But again, my purpose for saying this tonight is just to bring about an awareness so that we can remind ourselves of the things that we need to be thinking about. When life wants to give you a negative report, okay, there's a negative report. It's a real report. But there is another report that's also real. This report can discourage me. This report can make me afraid. This report can make me feel weak. But the scripture says, whatsoever is of good report. Hello? Yes. Whatsoever is of good report. Think on these things. So it's a decision that says, I'm going to just in tune, get in tune with the excellency of the power, because there's a better report there. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Hallelujah. All right. I got to stop. 2 Corinthians 6. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 6. I think I said that right. Yes, there's something I want to read here at the end of the chapter. Talking about conflict of interest. Probably better if it's like lemon juice, huh, Sister Christine? Be better on the voice. I didn't mean to come out preaching hard from the gate, you know? I feel like one of those racing horses, you know? Hard at the gate, and then they lose gas along the line there. But let me just read this to you in 2 Corinthians 6. Thank you for staying awake. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's a 2x4. Where I feel it the most, Brother Mike, is towards new converts, you know. We've all seen this. And this could be in, well, let me just read. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Conflict of interest. And what communion has light with darkness? Conflict of interest. What concord, what agreement has Christ with Belial? That's evil. Or what part had he that believes with an unbeliever or an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Conflict of interest. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them. God who is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God who is mighty and mighty to save. Listen to this tonight. This is where I'm trying to drive it home. There's a conflict of interest, but greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Is that enough to snap you out of anything? I mean, just go to prayer and acknowledge the word. If you don't have nothing to pray about because your life has shot you full of holes, go into the prayer room and say, I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Hallelujah. I'm his child, praise God, because this hasn't stopped this, praise God. The earth hasn't overcome heaven. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
if God be for us, if heavenly Jerusalem be for us, the mother of us all, who can be against us? Hallelujah. I told you earlier, without getting off the topic, what disgusts me so bad about all these end time nuts is that, and I don't mean to speak evil against any people of God, okay? Maybe I should retract myself. Every Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled child of God's wonderful. Some of them believe a little strange on end time prophecy, and some of them are fanatic, and I'm so sorry that they are. Leaving God's, I'm not their judge. I'm not saying they're going to hell. I'm just saying, what I'm really trying to say is that fanatic teaching, I'll correct myself, not the saints, but that doctrine, what irks me so much is it takes people's attention away from those fundamentals and foundational teachings and things they need to know to function as people of God and to walk in power and walk in truth and to become true soul winners. Even their own soul. I want my soul to be won. I want to be saved. But I don't want to crawl through life and just barely make it to glory. I want to explore this treasure. I want to explore this excellency. I want to be affected by this power and this love and this sound mind. I want it to govern me. Praise God. And the peace that passes all understanding shall keep. I want to be kept. I want to learn how to be kept. Hallelujah. I don't want to hope to be kept. I want to be kept. The scripture says, who are kept by the power of God, reserved unto everlasting life. I'm reserved, so are you. I want to live and I want to walk like I'm a reserved child of God. I'm a kept child of God. I'm a full of love child of God. I'm a sound mind child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's what the Lord's saying. He's saying, you are the temple of the living God. Avoid conflicts of interest. He's a jealous God. My temple has no place for negativity. You heard what we read a few nights ago, right? Perplexed but not in despair. Cast down but not destroyed. But some get stuck in, I'm cast down. But the excellency says, not destroyed. I'm perplexed but not in despair. What's that mean? I'm not hopeless. And that's what I need to acknowledge. If I acknowledge him in all my ways, he'll direct my path. Even if my path is out of the despair. Not some major path of life. Maybe just a path out of this frame of thought, out of these emotions, or out of the circumstances even. When they all surround us and they chant at us and they say, you're going down. I'll start acknowledging, I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm a son of God. Amen. I'm walking in righteousness and true holiness. Praise God. I'm being directed by the mystery of godliness. It's all it takes. And it doesn't matter what's surrounding you. Sickness, temptation, trial, always a way out. All right. I will dwell in them. God dwells in me. Praise God. I'm so glad I'm real. I want to be real. Look, the Antichrist is not some dummy who shows up and says, world power leader and I'm God. That's stupid. It's deeper than that. It's when a spirit of error takes somebody that was once Holy Ghost filled, Jesus name baptized, walking with God. Because that's the only, listen to me very carefully, that's the only type of people Paul was writing to. Why do you think we desperately preach what we preach and we reach out and we love and we have patience and we're hospitable and we're careful about people's souls who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's because we want them to be a part of this church, this kingdom, this holiness, this mystery of godliness, knowing that we're dealing with thieves called false doctrine that want to take them to hell.
Wherefore, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Listen to this very carefully. Wherefore, come out from among them. Where is the, I'm saved, but I'm still sinning? It doesn't exist. It's not a gospel teaching. Gospel teaching is, come out from that. And it's a very straightforward, repent. Repent is, don't just tell me I'm sorry, but you'll still do it. No, repent is, come out. Lot, take your two daughters and your wife and get out of Sodom. I'm going to burn it up with fire. And yet we've got people just as dumb as they were. I can't believe that account, Brother Bradley, when I read it, that the angels of God had to actually grab them by the hand and say, we've got to go. That they were so dumb that they couldn't recognize the fact that God had sent them. And what the first time they said, we need to get out of here, they should have just walked out and gone. Now. I better stop. I'm starting to get myself under conviction. Amen. I'm having fun. I think I've read everything tonight. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Conflict of interest. It makes sense to you tonight? Praise God. Be separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Boy, that's strong teaching from the Lord. Not from the deadhead out of seminary, from the Lord. The Lord said, you come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. I want to put a past tense on your lifestyle. Such were some of you. The gospel is trying to destroy Adam's influence out of you. And remove, if you will, the power of the conflict of interest out of your life. Let's pray. Just call on the Lord, shall we? Let's just love him. I've said enough here. Praise God.